Spring is upon us in Southern California, and I decided to get away from the city and go for a hike. It's always nice to be out in nature, as it's not only good exercise, but a nice view is always expansive for the mind and uplifting for the soul. And as it often turns out, even when I'm secluded in nature to get away, I'm sometimes recognized, which just lets me know that all the hard work I put in is paying off. And despite all of the censorship and suppression that I endure, the content is making it out into the public.
My channel?
Atlantean Garden. And
But mine is the main one that I use, Robert Sepper. Well, I'm glad. I'm always happy to be recognized because it means the content's getting out there.
Yeah, it's great, man.
And
I'm only subscribed to like 6 channels. That's one of them.
Awesome. So you just recognized me right now or right when we came up?
Right now. I heard the voice.
Oh, you got me from the voice, huh?
And then I saw your face. I was like, oh, that's that guy.
I think it's the glasses. Because I always wear the glasses in the video, no?
The voice.
Really?
Okay. The voice.
Very nice to meet you.
In mythology, there are many gods and goddesses, and while some have attributes of individuals who at one time may have existed, they are esoterically symbolic, representing forces of nature and intelligences, which were not meant to be taken literally as if they were a person or lived the stories and experiences that they're portrayed in the myths and legends. All of the ancient myths are encoded with symbolic truths. And one of the core examples from Greek mythology is Gaia, the divine mother goddess, or Mother Nature. She can also be understood to mean the planet Earth, with many levels of esoteric meaning, not just the literal physical planet, but the forces of nature, or laws of nature, that have been observed and understood over the millennia. May 1st lies about halfway between the vernal equinox and the summer solstice, so it was considered a good time to mark the transition into summer, and according to Celtic calendars in Northern Europe, was considered the beginning of summer. By then, the seeds for crops had just been sown, and it was time to drive cattle and sheep out into their summer pastures. It was a time for rituals, to bring about divine protection for the sprouting crops and grazing cattle, as well as pay homage to the goddess of May Day, which goes back into ancient times. To fully understand this period, we must start with spring. The Roman Empire had a great influence on Europe, and it was the Phrygian goddess Cybele that was introduced to Rome around the 3rd century BC, whose myth involved a lover named Attis, who was gored by a boar, and whose spirit would take refuge in a pine tree during winter, only to be reborn from the tree again in spring, on the vernal equinox, which is on March 20th in the Northern Hemisphere. In her festival, a pine tree was cut and stripped of its branches, wrapped in linen like a mummy, and decorated with flowers, usually violets. It was then brought before Cybele's temple on wagons in what resembled a funeral procession, since Attis was symbolically dead inside the tree, and then buried in a tomb. Attis then resurrected, or rose out of the tree, and was reunited with Cybele, symbolizing the beginning of spring, on May 25th. The tree was then erected before Sibyl's temple, and the people celebrated around it until April 1st, which may be the origin of our April Fool's Day, as the celebration was filled with joking and laughter. This leads us to the May Day festivals, where the spring goddess transitions into summer, before later transitioning into the old woman of winter. On May 1st, the erected and resurrected pole of Attis, which also acted as a phallic symbol, was decorated as the May Pole. This annual spring transition of goddesses forms the background to the tradition of the May Queen, where a contest was held and the winner was crowned and married to the May King, marking the reunion of Sibyl and Attis. In Bavaria, this king was known as Father May, in Austria as Green George, and in England, the Green Man. This festival was also called Beltane with the Celts, which translates to lucky fire, and was the beginning of summer. Traditionally, in most countries of Northern Europe, the May Day bonfire ritual was at least as important as the Maypole ritual, whereas vernal equinox holidays celebrate the anticipated victory of spring and fertility, May Day being halfway between the equinox and the summer solstice, was when the sun's waxing light and warmth is more clearly felt, and celebrates and guarantees the full-blown forces of summer. Generally in mythology, fire is a purifying and cleansing agent, which enables it to destroy the causes and manifestations of evil. Fire is therefore an agent of transformation. The sun is thought to be made of fire, meaning that fire on earth is just a lesser manifestation and representation of the same solar substance, which is divine by nature. In Gaul, the Wicker Man is a giant effigy that, according to the writings of Julius Caesar, was used by the Druids to perform human sacrifice by filling it with criminals and lighting it on fire. In Germany, on May Day Eve, which is April 30th, called Hexennacht, or Witches' Night, witches, which comes from a word meaning wise ones, were said to gather on the highest peak in mountains to commune with the spirits of nature, which became vilified and demonized by the new incoming Christian religion. By the 17th century, May Day became an occasion for Catholics venerating the Virgin Mary, essentially a goddess, replacing the pagan rituals and feasting of the symbolic fertilization in nature. Of course, the same day was also appropriated by the communists as the International Workers' Day, whose symbols are the hammer and sickle, which are also pre-Marxist representations of male and female, respectively. That said, the goddess would be adorned in flowers, and the god would be green and horned, often with the antlers of a stag, since they shed them each winter and regrow their antlers each spring, representing life, death, and rebirth, which is the esoteric meaning of the marriage rituals, also mirroring the inner marriage of the male and female energies within us. Merging of red and white ribbons meaning the menstrual blood of the goddess and male essence of the god, representing fertility, creativity, or creation, and the universal magic brought about in a cosmic orgasm. Sometimes the pole was decorated with serpents and was also a phallic symbol, with the wreath at the top representing the female gender. By braiding the red and white ribbons during the ribbon dance, the rising and falling energies are harmoniously connected not only between heaven and earth, but as the energetic current in our own body that can do the same. Dancing around the maypole would, in many pagan communities, be followed by the bonfire ritual, which ended off by sending youths of both gender into the woods all night, producing throughout Europe its annual crop of children. Green has always been symbolic of growth. What is green in nature is usually sprouting and fertile. That said, green has also sometimes come to mean naive and inexperienced, such as a green boy who's a rookie, or still green behind his ears. The green man is therefore full of vigor and potency, yet still has to grow or be initiated into the secrets of the adult world. This is the basis for a number of folk rituals and seasonal parades that are held, in which a man is covered in leaves, celebrated in different places in Europe. For centuries, mankind has symbolized nature, growth, and nourishment, cycling through year after year in forms of a green man. Representative of nature, birth, life, death, and rebirth, the history of the green man figure reaches deep into the past. We find him painted, carved into cave walls, on megaliths, and engraved in wood or stone in a multitude of cathedrals. This pre-Christian green man folklore still exists into modern day archetypes. Since before recorded history, the green man spoke to agricultural cycles and farming cultures, acting as a watcher over gardens and homes since antiquity, with the earliest known reference dating back 6,000 years to around 4,000 BC, disseminated by ancient Aryans with their spread of agricultural civilization, domesticated animals such as the horse and cattle, and Indo-European languages during the Holocene. Robin Hood is a heroic outlaw in English folklore who, according to legend, was a highly skilled archer and swordsman. Traditionally depicted dressed in green, he is said to rob from the rich and give to the poor. Archetypes for the Robin Hood figure can be found among the Celts, the Romans, the Anglo-Saxons, and the Danes. Anthropologist Sir James Frazer relates the story of the ancient cult of Diana and the King of the Wood. He was the consort of the virgin goddess of the hunt, who died only to return again, as the greenery does each year. Frazer argued that the King of the Wood was a manifestation of the universal pagan archetype of the dying and resurrected vegetation god, whose rebirth was often acted out in springtime mock combat between the personification of summer and winter. Frazer gives several Germanic examples of this folk custom, in which summer is clad in greenery and winter is clad in skins or fur. In the May Games, or spring celebrations of the 15th and 16th centuries, Robin Hood acted as an archetypal personification of summertime. These games were celebrated at various times throughout the early summer season. Robin Hood was also strongly associated with the summer solstice or midsummer days, as well as on ancient Roman pagan festivals honoring Fortuna, the goddess of fate, on June 24th. The goddess Fortuna remained part of European midsummer festivities and customs into the Middle Ages. Anthropologist Margaret Murray proposed that paganism did not die out with the Christianization of Europe, but instead, practitioners of what she called the old religion retreated in secret into the woods at night to continue their ancient rituals. Murray suggested that The witch craze in Europe was an attempt by the church to eradicate these last vestiges of the earlier nature religions. Murray claimed that deity worship in these cults was a horned woodland god that dated back to Paleolithic hunting cultures, whom the medieval church equated with Satan. For Murray, the legend of Robin Hood was a veiled reference to the medieval witch cult, in which Robin Hood was one of the names for the leader of a coven, who was considered both priest and incarnate god.
Around 4000 BC, during the warm Atlantic period, the Indo-European language was spread with the construction of stone observatories like Stonehenge, becoming a continental utility, just as the English language is now spread through the global utilities.
Following food and crops, cattle rustling northern Celtic culture traveled the Andronova corridor, merging with the goddess's agricultural way of life. The Green Man is a farmer. Heretofore, farming had been predominantly a feminine activity. The Green Man combines Mother Nature with male features, symbolizing the steppe warrior becoming a plowboy, a male farmer. There are countless numbers of these Green Man symbols found all over the world, dating back thousands of years. The Green Man is ever-present, everywhere. The Green Man is a proliferous symbol still used today. Popular characters Pan, or Puck, and Bacchus, all are from European centuries long past. Peter Pan, even the Jolly Green Giant.
The Jack of the Green figure is associated with new growth in spring and with May Day celebrations.
New images or old, the symbol of the Green Man lives on. Thousands of years, hundreds of generations have added and subtracted from his meaning, but one thing remains. As long as humans walk the earth, the Green Man will be watching.
The Green Man is found in many forms throughout history, but the common feature is the face covered by foliage, very often sprouting from the mouth. He is often found carved inside medieval churches and cathedrals, a bridge between the new beliefs of Christianity and the pagan beliefs it replaced, etched in stone by masons. The name Robin comes from the Norman Robert, a form of the Germanic version which originally meant famous or bright or even to shine. This is, and always has been, an indication of one who has achieved illumination or enlightenment. Horns were also symbolic of enlightenment or illumination, and green, a symbol of resurrection and life, or the natural cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. The Robin Hood legend provided, in effect, a way for the ancient pagan fertility rites to be introduced back into Christian Europe. Shrouded in secrecy, ancient mystery cults were based on sacred stories that often involved the ritual reenactment of a death-rebirth myth of a particular divinity. In addition to the promise of a better afterlife, mystery schools offered its higher-level initiates, through sacred, esoteric techniques, a supernatural glimpse into hidden realities while still living in a body, which is what is referred to by adepts as being reborn, and inspired many of the world's alchemists and philosophers into studies and pursuits that many would consider greater than oneself.
Thank you.
My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through patreon.com. There should be a link in the description. Please subscribe for future updates. Leave your thoughts below. Have a wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you again soon.